Father, I come just now, and Lord, I see my unworthiness. I see my failures. I see my faults. I see my sin. I see the things that I should have done years ago that now I pay prices for. Father, I see things that I should have done different. And maybe I'd have been down the road further for you if I'd listened and paid attention. Father, I ask you to help me this morning. Cleanse me, touch me fresh. Lord, please remove anything hurtful in my mind or my heart, anything that is like sin, even a shadow of sin. Show me this morning that I might walk as you want me to walk today. Cleanse me, O God, where I have come short of what you have laid out for me. I don't want nothing between me and you just now. Please touch me fresh. Preach me as you see fit, whether it be loud or soft or regardless of what it be, teaching or preaching. Lord, may I be completely in the center of your will, I pray. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. As we said again last Sunday, we'll be preaching a little bit of a series on the home. And we just had Mother's Day just a few weeks ago. And we got Father's Day next week. And so the timeline is kind of fitting. Be sure and try to be here next week, gentlemen. We won't be too harsh on us. What I preach to you is for me as well. I want you to know last week and the weeks prior, Memorial Day, and these weeks, I love my country. I just love my country. I'm a patriot. I love my country. I will die for my country. I will. I have no problem for that. I have no problem at all. I love the state I live in. I love West Virginia. I don't have a desire to go see nothing else, really. I like West Virginia. If I never go nowhere else but heaven, then I'm satisfied in Mount Lookout right now. I'm satisfied with that. I love my county. I love Nicholas County. I love it. I like the people. I like you. I love our church. I love our church dearly. I love everyone that makes it up, everyone that visits. I love everything about the church. But I love your home, the home, our home. See, when I love our home, that means I love you. I have a burden for you. I can't help my country much. I have one little vote to help my country. That's about all I can do. I don't have much more than that helping my state. I don't have hardly no voice in the county as far as the county administration would go. I don't live in Summersville to vote for the city officials or anything like that. But what I do have is an opportunity to help the church, but I have an opportunity to help you, to help the home. To help you today. Now, I can't make you do. I can't make you do. I can't even get you to agree with everything I say. But if I can help you a little bit, if I can just help you just a little bit, then that'll be all right. So I want you to listen. I want to try to help you this morning. And by helping the home, that's going to help our church, and then it'll eventually help our county, and then eventually help our state, and then it'll eventually help our country. But we're going to have to start somewhere. Now, we preached last week that there was trouble down at the house. The reason that a lot of things are wrong is because of trouble down at the house. Well, we're going to pick up right there. So let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Now, we looked and given a thought to last week about the absolutes. And the reason for everything today is that the world, now there is absolutes, but the world don't take it that there's an absolute God. The world don't take it that there's an absolute word. The world don't take it that there's an absolute truth, but there are. I love what Isaiah said when he wrote about the Lord in Isaiah 42:8. He said, I am the Lord. That's my name. I just love everybody. I'm the Lord. That's my name. That's who I am. And there's nobody else. And that's absolute. And I just want to tell you, there's not but one God. Now, there's a lot of man-made gods, but there's only one absolute true God. And then there's only one absolute word, and that's God's word. Only one absolute word. Are you hearing me? And there's only one absolute truth, and that's everything that God says. And that's absolute. That don't change. And it don't change way back, and it don't change now, and it's going to be the same later on. And every word is preserved. The Word of God. I have the Word of God. I have the words of God. And what I hold in my hand are not preserved principles, but they're preserved words of God. And I do have a King James Bible in my hand. Now you say, why are you saying that? Because of all the confusion and all the junk that goes on in the world, somewhere we're going to have to back up and just go ahead and draw a line in the sand and stand. And then everybody else has to just decide what they're going to do. But that's where I'm at this morning. And I'm just going to go ahead and stand there. Now, when I look at Acts chapter 20, there's what we call the Ten Commandments. They're not ten suggestions. They're Ten Commandments. And they're just as prevalent today as they were when they were written. Now, by these ten simple things, I can come to understand that I'm a sinner. And I can come to Christ because He is above everything and He saves me. There is no grace in the law. There's only judgment in the law. There's no mercy in the law. There's only law. But there's grace and truth by Jesus Christ. There's mercy by Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that. But I want you to look at something this morning. Last week we preached about the absolute of God, and that really takes care of itself in the first commandment. Can we start in Exodus 20? We're going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read a couple of verses, then I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning, and then we'll quit. But it says, and God spake. And God spake. I just want you to understand, this is what God says. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods. That's a little g there. No other gods before me. All right? I just want you to understand, there's not but one absolute God. Everybody understand that this morning? You hear me this morning? There's only one. And then verse 4 says this, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I'm going to stop right there for now. Now, when I look at what God is starting to say here, the first four commandments is our relationship to God. The last six commandments are our relationship one to another. But the first four commandments is how I'm supposed to take God and look at God and respect God and worship God and serve God. That's how the Bible's laid out. Is everybody with me right there? Now, the first absolute that we preached about last week was that the absolute God. But now there's a second absolute this morning we want to address. We looked at the absolute God, the absolute word, and absolute truth last week. But now there's something else that we forget about. We are religious, but we forget about this thing, and that's absolute worship. Absolute worship. See, we're religious. We're religious. But we don't worship. Or I shouldn't say we all don't worship. Everyone don't worship. Let me say it like that. Now, if you look here at verse 4, it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Now, there shouldn't be any images made that anybody worships. We all with that, everybody understands that. All right. You shouldn't make anything. You shouldn't carve out anything. You shouldn't carve out a statue. You shouldn't carve out anything at all to kneel down and to worship or to serve. Now, verse 5 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. When it talks about bowing down, now we're talking about worship. When we bow down is when we worship. And there is an absolute worship this morning. There is a way to worship. There is a way to worship. Now, these commandments that is written here, the Bible says that they're supposed to be taught. They're supposed to be wrote down in the home. They're supposed to be wrote down upon the gates that we go in and out of our yard, on the doors of our home, in the very recesses of our heart. And the first is God is God, and the second, we ought to be worshiping God. Amen. Now, everybody says, well, that's what I come to church for. I come to worship. But do you worship when you get here? Do you worship God when you get here? What do you worship? What do you worship through the week? Do we only worship God one day a week? Do we worship other gods? I told you last week that it concerns me about mission fields and foreign countries when you preach to them Jesus and they readily accept. And I have no problem with that. But they don't do away with the other gods that they were worshiping. And Jesus becomes a tag on or an add on. And I'm afraid that so often we've added Jesus. Jesus is the add on day. Or Sunday is the add-on Jesus day. We come to church, we add Jesus on our life on Sunday. But we don't worship Monday through Saturday. We bow down to other gods Monday through Saturday. And we use Sunday just to bow down to the absolute God. Now that's what the world is doing. Now we're religious. We'll listen maybe to a little music. Some may even listen to a message. But when it comes to bowing down and worshiping, there's very little worship goes on outside of a Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock. From 11 to 12:20, there's very little worship goes on. Down at the house, there's very little worship goes on. In the privacy of our own heart, with just us and God, there's very little worship goes on. Now, there's service. Oh, there's service. We're doing this and we're doing that and we're busy. Oh, we're busy even for the church and busy for the church, for the things that's going on. But worship is forgotten. But yet, he says that we're not to bow down to any other. Well, that's written negatively. If we're not to bow down to another, we're to bow down to him. Is that not the way it's written? Thou shalt not, that means that there's things you ought to be doing. Right? That makes sense? Now, y'all know that I was an English scholar. I just don't speak it. Huh? No, I mean, that's how it's written. Thou shalt not, then there's some things that thou shall. Right. You understand? Thou shalt not bow down to graven images, but thou shalt bow down to him. Thou shalt not bow down to false God, but thou shalt bow down to him. You understand? Yes. For there's not but one absolute God, one God. And I believe we've forgotten about him in a lot of ways. So there's an absolute there. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to worship. And we're going to look at it this morning. We're going to look at some things. I want you to start with, hang with me, Dave. I'm going to need you to go through some scripture with me, if you will, up there in the crow's nest. Turn to Psalms 115. Psalms 115. Let's look this morning. Y'all still with me? Yes. Hang with me now. Psalms 115. It says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Verse 4 says, there, talking about the world. Others says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. Verse 8, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Can I tell you, there's other gods all around. Now, every god that men worship is not graven out of a stone. Not graven out of a totem pole or a spirit house. You know, I told you when I went to the Philippines and preached, there were little spirit houses hanging in the trees. And the same way it is in Burma and other countries over there in Asia and around. There's little, looks like little bird houses. And that's where their gods live, in them little bird houses. The cutest little things there ever was. But they worship them. And then they have little altars in their homes. And if you remember, I told you about they wanted me to stay in one of them rooms. And didn't bother me. They thought I might be scared. But I didn't care because their God was dead. It wasn't going to hurt me. It wasn't going to handle me. It wasn't going to talk to me. It wasn't going to happen to it anyway. But they had their little candles and their little looked like little voodoo dolls all set up. And it looked like a little barn all set up there on the table and had it all set up. And I got to sleep in their spirit room. I was a preacher. I got to sleep in their spirit room. All right. But what it was just a bunch of knickknacks and whatnots is all it was. And can I tell you, that's what these other gods are, a bunch of whatnots and knickknacks. They're not a true God. But then there's gods other than the little whatnots. There's the gods that we have today. And I'm going to tell you this morning. You say we don't worship them, but we do. And it's the gods of greed, the gods of money, the gods of recreation, huh? The gods of tradition, the gods of family. Let me tell you what's famous today. Now listen, preacher. We think that family should come first. How many believe family ought to come first? Anybody believe family ought to come first? Well, you're all wrong. Family should not come first. God should come first. Huh? Family second. Family second. But you know what we do? We lay out a church to go for family. We lay out a church to go take care of family because, well, I need to put my family first. And what we'll do, we'll tell our kids, now it's all right, make sure you got your Bible with you, and we're going to have a devotion. And we do it on the run so we can recreate. But there's an absolute worship. Now, there's things involved in worship. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because there's a difference in religion and worship. Now, when we get done showing you, then we're going to see if we really do worship this morning. Now, the worship should start with Dad. Then the worship ought to include Mom, husband and wife. And then all worship ought to include children. And we ought to live our life for God. We are humanist more than we're Christian because we're determined to live our life for us and what we want and what satisfies us. That's the truth of it. But I know it's hard for us to see that. Let's look. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We'll look at a couple of things, give you a Bible example and quit. How about that? Because I see you're really interested. Genesis chapter 20, the first time worship is mentioned in the Bible. The first time it's really mentioned like this. Okay? Right here. Now, in Genesis chapter 22, first time it's mentioned. Now this is a story. This is Abraham's Calvary. Abraham is going to go up and sacrifice his only son on the altar. That way, everybody knows that story. You know that story today. Can I read it real quick here, just a few verses? It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He said, we're going up, me and the boy, daddy and the boy, we're going up on the mountain and we're going to worship. We'll be back after a while, but we're going to worship. Now, if you read the rest of the story, let me tell you what happened. Abraham was going up there to fillet his son and cut him in little pieces and dismember him and gut him and lay all these kidneys and everything out there and burn it with fire and make a sacrifice. And he said, me and the boy will be back after a while. Yeah. Now that's what really was going to happen there. You understand? What I see here is what worship includes. Now, it's not just all the story. I want to show you, they're going to go worship. Well, what was going to take for them to worship? Well, for Abraham, it was going to take faith and obedience. You're not going to worship, really, until you have faith and obedience. But then Isaac represents faith and sacrifice. You're not going to worship without faith and sacrifice. So I may ask you, did you worship this morning? Did you prepare yourself? The sis stood up there a while ago and testified and said, others didn't come prepared. I come prepared to worship this morning. For there's some preparation has to be done. Well, did you prepare this morning? Did you prepare this week to worship? Have you been obedient to the Lord? Do you have faith in God? Are you obedient to the Lord? Have you sacrificed for the Lord or give to the Lord? Have you? Now we're talking about worship this morning. See, I don't understand all that. Well, that's what the Bible says though. It teaches that worship is faith and obedience. We can't be disobedient and then come into His holy place. We can't be stingy with ourselves that we first give ourselves to the Lord. Huh? Can we go on? How about Exodus 33? Exodus 33. Look at verse 10. We're talking about families. We're talking about the home. Abraham and his boy worship together. There's no better worship than home worship. Now, church worship is great. But what do I do if I'm sick? What do I do if I'm broke down and can't get to the house of God? What happened to me? I can't, well, no, I need to worship at home. Well, I need the preacher. And now I got the Lord. And that's enough. And then I got to share land. And I can worship. And when the boys was home, we could worship. And there's some of y'all has been involved in worship at my house many times. I don't have to have this building. Yeah. But can I tell you, I worship. I'm able to worship where you're around or not. I've laid in a hospital bed and been able to worship. I sat in a hospital room when others were unconscious and sat and was able to worship when no one was around and the lights was done turned off and nobody was there but an unconscious person to me on a chair. I was able to worship. You know why? Because of what's inside. And there's faith and obedience necessary. And there's faith and sacrifice necessary. But then when I look in Exodus chapter 33, look at verse 10. And here, Moses, if you read the account, Moses is going into the tabernacle to talk to God. And the pillar, the cloudy pillar, was going to stand at the tabernacle to show the presence of God. And the people was at the house. And it says in verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. The presence of the Lord was strong, and they worshiped because of the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you, if you're not looking for the presence of the Lord, you're not going to worship. You need faith and obedience and faith and sacrifice. But if you come to the house of God not looking for the presence of the Lord, can I tell you, you're not going to worship. You're going to come with a spyglass. And you're going to be looking at what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is saying. But if you come looking for the presence of the Lord, that ought to be your desire. When you get up to come to worship, whether it's in the house of God or down at your house, you ought to be looking for the presence of the Lord. And I come in, I want Him to move. I want Him to move on you. I want Him to mess your makeup up. And I want Him to get you out of your old stubborn will, your own. I want you to come loose of yourself and see the presence. Hey, I want to see God manifest Himself in your life and in my life. I want the presence of God. Yes. That's worship. Yes. But yet, so often we come to church and we don't even give the presence of God. We have to go to church and we got to be gone. I wonder how long we'll preach today. We got to get here. We got to get there. We're not interested in the presence of God. Let me tell you, now I'm not being mean, I'm not being scold, I don't have a bone to pick with anybody, but I'm going to show you why I say this. All right, a couple of Sundays ago, we had church, and Rick didn't even get to teach Sunday school. The presence of God, pretty good. The girls was singing, and we had testimonies all over the church through Sunday school. We was going things, and we just kind of eased into worship service. But we had to quit because of all the commotion in the congregation. Because everybody that wasn't here for Sunday school come in talking, laughing, and it grieved the Spirit of God. And I could hear the talking on my deaf side over top of the singing, and the presence of the Lord just stepped aside. Yes. Now I'm going to tell you why that happened. Because there was many people that come in weren't looking for His presence. They weren't coming in to worship. They were coming in to talk and fellowship. And that's just a fact of it. And that's what we've missed. And then, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, it happened again. And just Sunday before last, it got on again. And we was having church and Sunday school, and then it's got to have the presence of God. How about Deuteronomy 26? Deuteronomy 26. Hey, Jacob, Baal, go down there and tell them not to forget to bring Boyd upstairs. We'll be done here shortly. Deuteronomy 26, verse 10 and 11. Hang with me now. I know we're not shouting. Deuteronomy 26, I'm teaching now maybe. Preaching, teaching. Deuteronomy 26. Let's see. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hath given me. We're in Deuteronomy 26:10. Which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Can I tell you, when we worship, we talk about coming to worship. We ought to come to worship with faith and obedience and faith and sacrifice. We ought to come in the house of God to worship, seeking His presence, looking for His presence, that we might worship with our house. That we might send our children down beside us and tell them when they don't, hey, God's here. Huh? You see God? You see His manifestation? Huh? And then it says in Deuteronomy, how about this? That we come to church and bring our tithe and what He's blessed us with. And we worship. Did you bring yours this morning? Did you bring your tithe to worship this morning? Huh? Did you bring your tithe to worship? I'm thinking about it. Did you? For what God blessed you with this week, did you bring that? Huh? Did you sell your so many dozen eggs? Did you bring the price of your dozens you sold out of the, I'm just telling you what we're reading here. Did you bring your tithe to worship this morning? That's why there's a basket set out there. Did you? Did you bring faith and obedience and faith and sacrifice? Did you bring this morning the desire for His presence? Did you bring your tithe and offering? Huh? How about Matthew chapter 2? Because I know somebody said, well, that's all Old Testament. So how about Matthew chapter 2? Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. How about verse 1 and 2? Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. It don't say they were three. It just says they was a bunch of wise men. They come from the east to Jerusalem. You know what they said? Where is He that is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. How about we just come to worship the King? Huh? How about we just come to find the King to worship Him? Bible says you'll be wise if you do that. That you're a wise man if you come to His house. I'm just telling you this morning that there's some absolutes that we forget. There's an absolute God, and I believe there's some absolute worship, that there's a way that we ought to come in the house of God. There's a way that we ought to live our life on Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday. That I ought to worship Him. Why? Hey, for what He's done for me. It said there in Deuteronomy, for what He's done in my house, for what He's done for the stranger that come in. Hey, for the one that come by and sat at my table and had a meal that wasn't part of the family. For the one that come by, I'm talking about this morning, just going ahead and lifting up praise for all that He's done, for all His goodness and all His greatness this morning. How about we just worship that way? Huh? But I believe we forgot it's an absolute. See, I believe what we think. Well, why come to church? Yeah. We come to church and sleep. We come to church and read. We come to church and talk. But do you come to church and worship? If you don't worship on Sunday, do you worship on Monday? Have you anybody here ever worshiped on a Monday? Anybody here ever worship on a Tuesday or Wednesday? You know, I've got tickled. You know, there's always different ways. I've talked to Miss Hope by text message before, and she worshiped on the text message. And I've talked to Trista, and we worshiped on the phone. And I've got a call every now and then. I'll get a call, and it's Brother Rick. And y'all know Brother Rick's messages he sends. You know, they're all unique. But can I tell you, wait till he worships and calls you. And he starts in the third part of the sentence. And he's just the full, that He just called you and He found a word or found a verse, and He's done maybe three or four passes around the living room or kitchen, wherever He's been reading, and He's worshiping. And it wasn't on Sunday school. Yeah. You ever worship like that? You ever worship in your car? I've told you, I know people think I'm crazy. I know that. You probably think I'm crazy this morning, but there's times I've got to pull off the road. I'm sure there's times people wish they would, but there's times that I got to pull off the road because I can't see to drive. I just got to pull off. I get out my handkerchief and I blow my nose and I cry and I shout and I holler and then I try to go again. Huh? I told you about the old guy, Cleve Young, that was just driving up road. Old preacher from Raleigh County was driving. He told the fellow driver, he said, "Stop! Pull off quick!" And he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I need to say a word for the Lord." And he just got out and went around the car there on the side of the road over in Beckley, going to just praise the Lord. He just stop. I gotta say a word for the Lord just right now. Amen. Huh? And you say, "Well, that's crazy." No, he just worship. Just worship. We okay? How about we look real quick here? Acts 24, verse 14. Huh? Paul said, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the ways which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Can I tell you, you ain't going to worship unless you worship according to this book. Amen. Unless you worship according to the scripture. It's going to have to be according to the scripture. He said it ain't going to be heresy. It's going to be according to what the prophets wrote, what the fathers wrote down. That's why I'm worshiping. I call it worship because it goes with this book this morning. Huh? We okay? I can give you some more. How about Psalm 96:9? You're going to have to come and worship in holiness. You're going to have to be clean. You clean yourself before you come. How about Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, said they're going to worship and it's going to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to come in and worship grandma. They said, "I love my grandmas." I loved all of them. Huh? I knew my two generation grandma and one great grandma. I loved all of them, but I'm not worshiping according to them. And their apron does not bless my heart. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, are you listening to me? Their apron don't bless my heart. Huh? That old flower that grew up on old Blue's grave that Papa used to coon hunt, that don't move my spirit. Huh? That ain't what I'm talking about this morning. Huh? I'm talking about Jesus Christ, and I worship Him, the one who suffered and bled and died for me. That's who I come to honor this morning. Huh? We okay? How about Nehemiah chapter 9? Huh? I'm not going to go back and read it. I'm going to give it to you real quick. If you'll look at it, huh? Call it up here on the board. Nehemiah chapter 9. And if you'll find it says that they prepared in sackcloth and ashes. Huh? They put their sackcloth on and ashes and they prepared themselves. They humbled themselves and they read the word of God for the first quarter of the day. And then they worshiped. The other quarter of the day. Huh? Let's look up there in Nehemiah. Look at verse 3. There we prepare. And they stood in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord there 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped. Confessed and worshipped. I'm just talking about there's an absolute worship, okay? We still okay? I'm going to stop right there. And I'm going to finish this tonight. Okay. And the reason being, I want you to study about this. I want you to study about how you're coming to worship. For there's an absolute worship. Do you prepare yourself when you come? How do you prepare yourself to come? Do you argue with the children? What's your mindset when you come into the house of God? Do you argue on the way to church? We all have. We all have. Do we have a bad attitude when we get up? Do we sleep late and get mad at everybody because we didn't get up? Huh? I mean, how often is our mindset completely way out there and we've not prepared ourselves for worship? I believe this morning, we'll just go ahead and stop with this. I believe this morning that there's an absolute God. I believe there's an absolute truth. I believe there's an absolute word. But I believe there's some absolutes this morning. There's an absolute worship. And I believe we're missing it. I believe we're missing it. We're missing it because of faith and obedience. We're missing it because of lack of faith and sacrifice. We're missing it this morning because of lack of seeking His presence. People go to church to hear what's going on. People come to church to hear who's sick and who's better. People come to church to see what everybody else is doing, who's there, who's not, who's new, who's quit. We come for church all different kinds. We come to church for our obligation so we can put our little penance note down, and we've done our penance for this week for all the hell we've raised. So we went to church to do our penance. But we don't really seek His presence. That we come in to seek Him. Worship with tithes and offerings. Worship for the King. Worship according to the Scripture. Father, help us to learn to worship. Help us to honor You and worship You. Oh God, how You deserve our worship. To adore with extravagant love. Oh, may I worship You. In Jesus' name, and amen.